Thank you very much. I understand that there are members here from the ORV, so I want to acknowledge them. We work closely with many kashrus agencies, including the ORV here in Miami. As was mentioned, this year is dedicated especially for Refuah Shleimah for Rabbi Belsky. I'm going to quote at the end a shtickel Torah that Rabbi Belsky wrote about Bishul Akam. And I may do it, it's absolutely, it's just his language and conclusion. It's just a very beautiful shtickel Torah. It's about an issue which you're familiar with. David Kolodny was speaking to me about in terms of Bishul Akam, of Ola Shulchan Lochem, does it depend on the way it's served, does it depend on the min? I mean, Misfarah, it certainly doesn't depend on the min, but he points out that this is simply those who think it does. It's a misreading of the Isa Veheta. Of course, there's a Moshe's Tshuva, but I'm just going to read what Rabbi Belsky wrote. It's just the language, and it's so typical of Rabbi Belsky, because one of the extraordinary qualities that he has, first of course, he's a brilliant Talmid Chacham. He has tremendous ideas in many different areas, but he has enormous plates and tremendous courage. And he has served Klal Yisrael always because of those qualities, just remarkable qualities. I remember I was my office overlooks the Statue of Liberty, so he was in my office looking at, you know, the New York Harbor. And Rabbi Belsky, in his time, was a very good swimmer at Camp Agudah. He would always, you know, go out swimming. And, you know, tell me, you know, in my day I could swim from the shore, the tip of Manhattan, to the Statue of Liberty. And that was right. He was always swimming against the current many times, you know. But that's one of the remarkable qualities about him. Okay. So let me begin by, as you know, that the Loch of Bishul Akam is mentioned in the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. El drum shall of the kachovim asum ve'enisum isa anor, and amongst them is pas vashlokas. Rashi in the Mishnah comments that the reason that they asked Bishul Akam is Mishum Chasmus. However, in the Gemara, when the Gemara says that Bishul Akam is an Asmachta, and it's only Midrabonin, so Rashi comments Midrabonin Shlo Ye Yisrael Logal Etzlo B'Michel B'Mishtov Yachilenu Dove Tomei. So Tosis already notices that Rashi gives two reasons. In the Mishnah, Rashi says Mishum Chasmus, and in the Gemara, he mentions Yachilenu Dove Tomei. So Tosis says, "Pirush Rashi to Rabbanan goes mishum dechayis shem yechilen dvarim tmeim for yosai enable a farish hatam mishum chasnus." So why indeed does Rashi give two reasons? So what I'd like to suggest is this: that you know, whenever Chazal make a gzeira, so there's always a reason why they make the gzeira. There's a social need that they're, you know, in terms of chizuk hamitzvos, that they're making the gzeira. But then the other reason, the other issue that we have to deal with is, once they, that's the reason for the gzeira. But then the question is, when they formulate it, called the tikkun rabbanan kein d'oraisa tikkun, under what category do they classify it? And once they're classified in that way, you know, even if there's, even mishum lo kol, they make, that's the gzeira. The one who says this, not in this case, but the Rashba, the Rashba says in Avodah Zarah and Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, he asks, why is it, others ask the question also, by Stam Yenam, we have two reasons. One is Mishum, they ask you to Mishum B'Noseim, and also the Chashash of Yain Nesach. So why do you need two reasons? So the Rashba says, so I'll just read what he says. Vim Toimer, for Hamas Nisim Bistam Yenim Mai the Osu Bahano, the Lok Tani Yain Nesuch, Mad Vaya Mais Mianis Nesicham, the Havi Tikrovis, the Shlom de Pchita, Avagav the Osu Yain Mishum Bno Sehem, Lo Havi Asrin Libano Yosu Mepitum Shamnam, he loved the Yain Nesuch Mamish Osu Bano Minatoira. Umit come out Chilas Exer Lo Hoyu Gozum, Isa Bistam Yenim Mishum Yain Nesuch, Ilo Mishum Bno Sehem. So what the Rashi was saying is, the reason that they made the gzeira was Mishum B'Noseim, Chashash Chasmas. But once they made the gzeira, when they formulated it, so Yain Nesach became Osu B'Tos Yain Nesach. And there's a Nafki Min Elocha, because once they made it, the Hagdor is Yain Nesach, it's also Osu B'Hanor, not just B'Achila. Now, in this respect, Bishul Akum is different than Pas Akum. Because we know the Mishnah mentions they made two different gzeiras, Bishul Akum and Pas Akum. Because we find many kulos by pasakum that you don't have by bishalakum. Lemoshel, by according to many rishonim, indeed most rishonim, all chochmei svarot, they hold that bishal akum, the heter of zvikas kisem, that if you throw a splinter of wood into the fire or if you stoke the coals, that's matrit in terms of bishal akum, that only helps by pas, does not help by bishal. And that's the psak of the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rashba. The Ramah, however, is makil about this. So, and that it doesn't, that even for bishal akum, this heter applies. And this is actually what motivated me to write this tshuva, which I wrote many years ago. This is a tshuva that I wrote to Rav Shapira, who was then the Rav HaRosh in Eretz Yisrael, and happened to have been Rav Belsky's cousin. And because they had a close relationship at the time, Rav Belsky was the one who was responsible for checking on the shchitas in America that went to Eretz Yisrael for the Rav HaRosh. But the issue that we had, just by way of history, was that there was a tuna plant that was under the OU in Puerto Rico. And what we used to do is turn on the fires. We have a mashgiach there, Binyamin Gifter, and we would turn on the fires. So the Rav HaRosh of the Svadish Rav HaRosh then was Mordechai Eliyahu. And he said that helps for Achenu Hashkenazim, but it doesn't help for the Svadi community who relies on the Beis Yosef, and this cooler, Zvikas Kisim, doesn't help by Bishalakim. So I wrote a tshuva about this to him, about many tzadim lekula, why it would work also for Svardim, even according to the Beis Yosef. So I'm going to speak about some of those issues. But first, simply by way of definition, in this respect, we see there are many kulas that apply to Bishalakum, to Pasakum, and not Bishalakum. And the reason may be, as some Rishonim say, because ala lechem yichya adam, and it's a staple of life, so to speak, bread, and therefore Chazal were more makel about Pas. And the two important kulas are, first of all, as I said, according to many Rishonim, and according to the Mechaber, this kula of Zvikas Kisim only applies to Pas, not to Bishal. And also, paspalta, pashtus, only applies to pas and not bishul. There's a zera'or that says it applies also to the zera'or in Berakabayis that says it applies also to bishul, but we don't pass in that way. For Havaya, that the Ramah says kichalach, lashon of the Ramah, kichalach, helika kichalach, that kichalach, the Ramah says also, I guess the way that they used to make kichalach in the time of the Ramah, he says, even though it's palter and it's mutter for because of the pas, but since there was a thick layer of egg on it, apparently, so he says it's also bishalakim because of the egg. So you see that the palter doesn't help for the egg, so palter doesn't help for bishalakim. Ramosha, just I mentioned this parenthetically, Ramosha has a cooler. I quote this tshuva, he told it to Ravnata Greenblatt, and Ravnata wrote it down and showed it to Ramosha. We had a Maisa once at the OU. There's a Fumbala boss, Elliot Gibber, who owns very big in the egg business. And he had a new technology that he made an elongated egg. So he wanted us to give Hashgacha on it. I said, I can't give because what about Bishalakim? Because we couldn't arrange to turn on the fires or anything like that. So he said, he spoke to Moshe, and Moshe said it's mutter. So he said, he told me, if Moshe finds it, we'll tell you that it's mutter. Will you give Hashgacha for it? So in general, that's not a policy. But if Moshe finds it, would tell me that it's mutter, the Pesach Gadol, you know, so we would for you, on this.
What was the
Metzias? I don't know the exact Metzias, how it was made, but it was a new technology that required, you know, making this. I'm not sure how, you know, it looked like an elongated egg. So, anyhow, so I published Ramosha's tshuva, but this was Ramosha's svara, was Ramosha held that even though we're not makel about palta, he says the reason we're not makel by palta, by bishul, is because it's because palta and bishul are the same thing. So it's mishum lo plug. But if the first of all, he said, palta, what does a palta mean? Palta means that you're buying from the goy, But you're buying in a commercial, in a bakery. So the relationship is not a cordial, lovey-dovey one. A personal one. They made some cookies or whatever it is that they made for you. But it's, or the baked bread. It's a commercial relationship. But he said, that's palta. But if the factory is in Wisconsin, and you have no shaykhus at all, so it's a chash mishum chasnus, that would never be usa. That would be mutter also. And as I said, there is a ra'or like that. And so Rav Moshe, but he said, it has to be that it's the technology that they're using. It's not just they're making, it's the same bishul that they make in the house. It's the same as in the factory. Just in the factory, it's 100 pounds of dough or whatever it is. And here you're making 2 pounds of dough. But he said, if it's done in a different way, massively different way, so then there's no chash and lo plug. And Rav Moshe held it was mutter. It's a chiddush from Rav Moshe, but he's Rav Moshe. So I just mentioned it parenthetically. We generally don't rely on that heter at the OU. But again, I say it's Rav Moshe. So, but anyhow, but Pas has the kul of palta and also zrikas kisim, according to many Rishonim. So it could be that there's a difference between Pas and Bishul. In Bishul, Rashi gives two reasons, because the Iser of Bishul Akum, the Iser was, the reason they did it was Misum Benosehen. But the Chaloisa Iser was Machalos Asuris, Shemichelena Dovatame. So that's in the Mishnah Rashi mentions Mishum Chasnus. But in the Gemara, Midrabonin, he says Shemichelena Dovatame. And because the nafkemina is that it's a cheftz of machalos asuris, masha ein kein pasakum. By pasakum, it's not a cheftz of machalos asuris. It's only mishum benoseyim. Lamai nafkemina. The nafkemina is what about tam keika? In Shulchan Aruch there are two dais with a bishul akum asus kelim. Chabakot's two dais, which is machlokes the Rosh and the Rashba. We generally are not lachum about it. Though we're makel about how we kasha for Bishul Akum, says in Shulchan Aruch, even Kli Cheres we're makel about, because ain't equal men a Torah. However, by Pas Akum, it says Mefurish in Shulchan Aruch, that one person who's makbid about Paskum can eat in the same kaira as a person who's not makbid about it, even though there's tam. So you see, by Pas Akum, there's no isa tam kika. Why is that? Because it's not a cheftz of machalos asuris. It's a gzeira, mishum benoseya. I don't know. Why they did it? I'm not. It could be because again, they're more in general. They were more makel about pas because and maybe also they thought on pas is less of a less of a relationship. So whatever the reason is, but you see from Shulchan Aruch that the chilukim between them.
So according to Tosfos, you wouldn't pass him like this mechaber that it's mutter. There's no tam by
Bishul Akum. Not by Bishul Akum, by pass.
Bishul Akum is chasnas.
Tosfos is not mechuyif to say ma'ashtukol Torah. You understand? I mean, he could still say it's a chetz. I'm saying the reason Rashi says it with this Rashi, because like the Rashi says by Stam Yenam, that'll be enough community for Isa Hanor. So. Rashi has both because there could be other nafkaminas. Tosfos quotes also the Rabbi Natan disagrees with it, but sometimes we're makil about it. Tosfos says that if it's Bebeis Yisrael, that we're makil because the Tosfos quotes in the name of the Ravid, not the Ravid the Baal Hasokas, that Bebeis Yisrael it's mutter because presumably all the ingredients are kosher and there's no chashash or shemichelon or davatame. So there are nafkaminas in it as well. So now what I wanted to talk about a little bit now is we know that there are two criteria that are necessary for Bishul Akum to be usa. One is that it has to be something that is not Nechel Kamo Shulchai, and the other thing is that it has to be Ola Shulchan Malachim. So I told David Kaledna I was going to talk about this because he had asked me this question. This phrase Ola Shulchan Malachim is a very ambiguous phrase because it can mean one of two things. It could mean Oila Shulchan Malachim, Kipshuto, that it's something that was served like Suda Shlomo Beshaito, something served very high grade at a state dinner or at a chasana. Or Oila Shulchan Malachim can mean that it's not an inferior grade, you know, kings or presidents don't just eat at state dinners, right? So the nafkamina was like, you mentioned, Ronald Reagan was famous that he liked jelly beans, right? So, you know, would the jelly beans be, is that Olah Shulchan Aruch? Not Olah Shulchan Aruch. So I just want to tell you this story that Rav Schwab, Zichron Levracha, once told me. Rav Schwab told me that in the late 40s, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he went to visit the Chazon Ish. And he asked the Chazon Ish where the sardines, are you allowed to eat sardines? Is it mutal to be shalakim? So the Chazon Ish told him that it's usur. So Rav Schwab persisted. Rav Schwab said, many of the Gdolim, including Rav Chaim Moyser, were makel about it. Apparently, after the First World War, the joint used to send sardines to the starving Jewish populations. So the Chazon Ish said, Gehalten's mutti, Gehalten's also. So then he still persisted. He said, but sardines are not oila shulchan malachim. So the Chazon Ish said, as the Kenning from England, when as Fishtak, as sardines eichet, to the King of England, when he has breakfast, he also eats sardines. So Rav Schwab told me that since he heard of me, Per Kotcho, of the Chazon Ish, he would only eat sardines with Ashgacha to make sure the Bishul Akum was, you know, taken care of, so to speak. This is a fundamental question about what the definition, you know, with tremendous ramifications. Is Olah Shulchan Aruch mean, you know, a very, very high grade, or just not an inferior grade? So I spoke to Soloveitchik about this, and he thought, contrary to what the Chazon Ish said, he thought that Olah Shulchan Aruch means that it's a very high grade. And I think that has been generally the accepted position, even in Yeshiva. I remember when, in Lakewood years ago, I learned the Lakewood for a few weeks because of Soloveitchik's, when his wife was ill, so for several months he didn't come in to give shiur. So I went to Lakewood for a while, see what the other side's doing. But in those days, they didn't have all these different kind of cereals that they had. You know, they sell Kellogg's Rice Krispies, right? So what's the heter of Kellogg's Rice Krispies? What about Bishul Akum? So the heter is because it's not Olah Shulchan Aruch. And I think that was the standard.
They're cooked?
They're cooked, yeah.
How about the baked cereal?
You cook Rice Krispies.
Yeah, so let me, I'm just in terms of the principle. I thought that this shaila may depend on two deis in the Tosis. Tosis in Avodah Zorah asks, Tosis says, you know, the Chazal made a gzera that is also of Shecha. Shecha was a kind of fermented fruit that was drunk. And so Chazal asked the Shecha, and many klolim, you know, if you're drinking with a goy, also, you know, for similar reasons, only by yourself, and, you know, only, I mean, there's only no other yidin. So Shecha is us. So Tosis asks, why do they need a separate gzera of Shecha? The Shecha itself should be also because of Bishul Akum. So Tosis gives two terutzim on that. One terutz Tosis says is that on Shecha you make a shahakum. We'll have to see what Tosis means about that. Make a shakal on a ribsteak also. And then Tosis gives another answer that Sheikh is not Oila Shulchan Aruch. So why did Tosis need two terutzim? So that Tosis says that you make a shakal, I think what Tosis means is like this. Let's use the Sheikh in our contemporary phrasing. In our contemporary phrasing, Sheikh is beer, which is made with hops, right? And it's cooked. So Tosis thinks that Shecha is mutter. Why? What does it mean when you make a shahakal? So I think what Tosis means is like this. Why isn't it like a shlokos or tafshil that you should make a mezainis on it? So the teretz is that the ikur is the water, and that's meant only to flavor the water. So therefore, the bracha is a shahakal. The Gilya Mashor quotes this, by the way, quotes this Tosis in a different context about, he says, there's a lashon of the Shlomo Egi, he says, about coffee heiser. That why are you allowed to drink coffee? Why isn't it Bishul Akum? So he says this also. Now the coffee beans flavor the water, but it's not that becomes the ikah, and v'havai you make a shahakol. But that's one teretz, right? But the other teretz is, Tosfos says, is because it's not Ola Shulchan Malachim. It could be, Efsha, that there's a machlokes between these two tevilutzim and Tosfos, namely, that one teretz in Tosfos holds that at a state dinner, you don't serve beer. But kings and presidents, as we know, drink beer too, right? And if you remember, but George Bush, when he was watching the Super Bowl, do you remember that story? He had a beer, whatever, he fell down, he hit his head.
Choked on a pretzel.
I don't know, that was a different thing. That's already past soccer, we're not talking about that. If the standard is that it's what's served at a Sudas Melech, you don't serve Sheikha, you serve Yayin. But if it's something that's not an inferior grade, like a fish that have not maturated enough, right? Little fish, that's not considered Oloshul Chalachim. Sardines are not that, because it means, Pashtus, it means, like Ochoshulcha says, that means that it's not completely grown the way it's supposed to, so then it's an inferior grade. So it could be that it depends on these 2 days in Toises. Now, I just want to get back to one other thing. When we had this story with the tuna coming from Puerto Rico, right? So there was another eitzah here. What we did to accommodate Mordechai Eliel's request was we have a mashgiach there all the time, Binyamin Gifter, Mordechai Gifter's son, and he would schlep these big wagons into the retorts to cook, putting in the food would be done by Yisrael. But there's a simpler eitzah which the Avnei Nezer gives, and Ravadji Yosef quotes this Avnei Nezer also in his Chuvas, and that's this. He says like this: the Avnei Nezer, just if the guy puts the food, you light the fire, and then the guy puts the pot with the meat on it onto the fire. So that's a shaila of what? Of Bishal Akum, even if the Jew lit the fire. I'm saying according to the Beis Yosef. But let's say the guy puts the food on the top of the stove, and the stove is not lit yet, and then the Yid lights the fire. So Avnei Nezer says, that's not Zvikeski, that's not Chitu Cholim. On Shabbos, should be over on 2 things, on Havava and Bishul. So in this case, what do you have to have that the Yid, this Nebuch Binyamin Gifter, schlepping all these things into the thing, just light, let the workers in the plant do all the work in terms of putting it into the retort. And then at the end, you just turn on the switch, and that should be Mutter. So Mordechai wouldn't accept this. He had a cheshmud, a Rambam, and Hilchos Shabbos. I thought Mamash had nothing to do with this. But Lechvodo, we continued to do it, during his lifetime like that. But then also we published a magazine, the Torah magazine, the OU, the Kashrut Department, Mesorah. So we had a tshuva that we asked Rav Bakshi Daron, who's then the subsequent Rav HaRashi, what he thought about it. And he also thought to be maker like the Avnei Nezer. Mestab is like the Avnei Nezer. This issue in terms of how you accommodate Svardim on this, according to the Beis Yosef, many years ago, this was in 1992. I remember the year, because Rabbi Lamb told me, the president of the university, there were boys in the Yeshiva University who didn't want to eat in the dining room because what they relied on was that the mashgiach would light the fires. But for the Svardim said that for them, that's not sufficient. Of course, the Beis Yosef. So Rabbi Lamb wrote a shaila to Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, and he asked him, what do we do, what to accommodate them? And he wrote it, typically Rabbi Lamb, very, in a beautiful way, he said, we better solve this problem, because this was the 500th year anniversary of Gevurah Svarad, or we'll have another Gevurah Svarad. So Rabbi Aaron wrote back that this shaila was asked when his father, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, Rabbi Chaim's son, first came to YU, similar to his father there, and they asked his father this shaila, and his father was Mekil, but he doesn't know what his father's reasons were. And he gave his own reasons studying Lakula. He has in his tshuva, Rabbi Avadya Yosef, I don't know if he means Lechatchila, he talks about how can Sfardim eat in the hotels in Israel. Most of them, you know, they have Arabs and so on, Goyish workers. So he had a lot of tzirufim. First of all, maybe schirim, they're paid. So that's a shaila where the schirim, but Shach quotes, they is to be makel about it. Maybe it's called Beis Yisrael, because if the hotels are owned by Yidden, and he has a, and then of course he has the Ramor, right? So he has a series that maybe you can be makel against the Beis Yosef in those circumstances. Now, one of the other important issues, especially for us in factories, is, you know, I just want to mention one thing. There is another big nafkamina about this issue, what I spoke about in terms of what the definition of Oila Shulchan Malachim is. And that is, you know, what about junk food? Because everybody's familiar with this tshuva from the, you know, in one of the later chalokim, the Igros Moshe, from Moshe to Reuven Feinstein, about eating potato chips. But, you know, junk food, is that called Oila Shulchan Malachim? So that's what Rabbi Belsky writes about in his tshuva. I'm just seeing if I can find it. So junk food, you know, it depends on this definition. According to the Chazon Ish, probably it would be also.
It's not even first thing.
He eats it all day, you mean?
No, it's not a meal.
So, anyhow, so, you know, there's this tshuva that to Rabbi Reuven, which is not clear at all. So Rabbi Belsky,
when he went to war in Iraq, President Bush said that he's not eating any more candy to be nice about oil with the troops. So Christ Christ that he eats candy.
Did he really say that?
That's what he said.
Uh-huh.
What? When to tell him that he is in yeshiva, he said he doesn't believe it.
That's Mesiris Nefesh. So, you know, I will email this, and maybe if you circulate this tshuva from Belsky, only because since this shiur is in his honor and for Fu Shlema, just you see the language, how beautiful it is. But he speaks about that tshuva, and he speaks about this Issa V'Heta. First he says about the tshuva, we're not so sure about, you know, he said he went to speak to Reuven about it, Reuven doesn't mend it exactly, what were the circumstances? He says, Umasha Omer Benochem Eisenstein, Nebeshem Harav Yoshev, Gambesetzoch, Vaudive Shoil, Vanidba Zella Halam, Mikon Yeshla Ein, Bemokomatov, Rak Achakach, Lishol Shalos. So then he quotes, you know, Misvara, it shouldn't depend on the min. Anyhow, Rabelsky said this is a misreading of the Issa V'Heta that's commonly quoted, and the Orach HaShulchan, which is only quoting the Issa V'Heta. But it's a very, very beautiful tshuva, and it's very beautifully written. So much so that, you know, Rabbi Shechter, who also comes in to handle Shilas, wrote at the end, Hadvom smechem kinisinosa misinai. Yepuch hazima amadaba ukedai lahashtik hadova velinho kestim. This is Rabbi Belsky's concluding. Kestim is called haposkim shezeh muta belipikpuk. So, you know, maybe I'll send this to whoever wants, and then if you want, you can circulate just about that particular shaila. So I want to talk about... This is it goes by the min. You know, if you can make... Some people misread an Issa V'Heta, that if you can make something, Oila Shulchan Malachim, then that min is always also, like by Bots, right? So misvara doesn't make any sense. How could Issa V'Heta say it? And he shows that the Shach holds not that way because he quotes the Issa V'Heta on two different sides. Anyhow, I only say it's a beautiful tshuva. It's worth looking at. So I want to just deal also with one other issue, maybe a few other issues, but the clock is ahead of me, is one of the questions that comes up, especially for us in factories, the main way of heating things in factories is through steam. Steam circulates throughout the factory, and it heats the product. So if something is heated by steam, is that called Bishal Akum? Why? Because, or is that called Ma'ushan? We know that Ma'ushan is Mutter. Ma'ushan is a suffix in Yerushalmi, in several places, in Shabbos and so on, Lagabe, many halachas, Lagabe, Lagabi Shabbos and Lagabi Korban Pesach, is it called Mavushal? If something is Ma'ushan, is that considered Mavushal or not? Now, Ma'ushan means something that smokes. Now the question is, what if something is heated by steam? Is that called Mavushal? Or is that called Ma'ushan? So that was Nogeya to our tuna fish island, coming back to, you know, to the muck of this discussion. Because the way tuna fish is handled in a plant is, it comes in, it's about, the tuna is about this size, the three different species of tuna that are commercially used, but it comes in about this size, and then it's heated in live steam. The reason they're heated in live steam is to make it easy to skin, because the tuna is skinned by hand. And at that point, when it's heated in steam, it's really very tasty. It's like the tuna, seared tuna that's served at chasnas. The reason it's subsequently cooked again in the can in the retort is primarily not so much for the bishul, for the tam, but it's for hygienic reasons to kill any microbes, pathogens that might be in the left in the fish. So it's cooked at a high temperature to kill them. So the question is, well, if it's cooked in steam, is that considered ma'ushan or mavushan? So in terms, I think Rabbi Heinemann told me that Rabban Kotler held that that's called, I think Ramosha held that if it's cooked in steam, I forgot what he told me. He had heard this from Rav Aaron. I think I wrote it up in my tshuva here. But this is a Shailen Poskim. You know, he has a very interesting tshuva about this. If you we have Telushkin. Nissen Telushkin has a sefer, not such a little sefer, called Meitara. It's a wonderful sefer about mikvos. At the end, he has a tshuva in the later volumes about Bishal Akum. And he talks about this Shaila, about something being heated in steam. Is that called Mavushal or Ma'ushan? So that's Nogeya to our Shaila. So I once spoke to Rav Yoshev about this, but I want to bring your Raya that Ma'ushan doesn't only mean that it's a cold smoke, right? By the way, in Europe still, for example, smoked salmon is smoked in a smokehouse that's cold. But a lot of the smoked salmon in the United States is really cooked in an oven, and the smoke is brought in subsequently only to flavor it, to give the smoky taste. So it's not mavushan at all. It's mamish mavushal. But it says in Shulchan Aruch and Pei Zayin that by mavushan, since it's a suffix new shalmi, whether it's mavushal, has a din of bishul or not, so the gabi bosu b'cholav, if it was ma'ushan, it's asa. You're not loika because it's a suffix. In Malkus, we don't have any nowadays, but it's nafkamina, whether it's considered a rasha, that's chayiv in Malkus, that'll be posul or edus. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, so the Pri Chodesh asks, what's the case? He says, how can anybody think that ma'ushan should be also, that should be called bishul by bosu b'cholav? Because there's machlokes rishonim, shaila halacha, machlokes rashi, and toisis in the beginning of Sanhedrin, machlokes rishonim, and pisach tshuva, and talks quote different shitas, whether if something is tzli, right, if it's roasted, it's tzli also by bosu b'cholav. So ma'ushan, he said, since it's machlokes, whether tzli is also, but ma'ushan is further than tzli. So how can it be that Shaila, that according to those who shun, that Tzli should be Yosef? So that's his kasha. So the Prisha answers. This is the example that the Prisha gives. He says, what's the case of Ma'ushan? You have a pot of milk, and you have a piece of meat in the pot, and you're heating it from the outside with Ishun. So that's closer to Bishul than Tzli. But there's several things that you see from this Prisha l'chayra. First of all, you see that he thinks that the ishun is not a cold smoke, that it's hot. Otherwise, you're not heating the milk with it. There's another chiddush here, which is a chiddush, which is not mistaba actually, that this is called ishan at all. L'choy, this is bishul. The milk is in, you're cooking it in the milk. All right, but that's, so I once asked Rav Yoshev about this, but he knew, of course he knew the pishur, and he said, it's shver, but people shouldn't be somech on this lahalacha. The reason he said that is because the Rashi Paisik, Gedalia Felder, who was a Paisik in Canada, very choshev Paisik, he thought that these things made in cans should be mutter because the way they heat it in factories is through steam. But it's steam. This is only told us. Oh, it's cooked in the juices that are in the can. L'choy, that's bishul, not meushan. But I only quote this. That's a kash from the preisha also. But one thing you see from the preisha, that he thought that meushan is a hot smoke. So in terms of this issue, so Rav Avadya Yosef has, as you can imagine, a whole list of, you know, Paiskim Achoyim to talk about it. There's Marit Zilon and others who talk about it. And he quotes this in his tshuva also. But Meushan, there are those who think that if you do something you cook something in a microwave, that's not Usa al Tzbishalakum, that's also called Meushan. I know Rabbi Heinemann thinks that. Which is not a Dover Poshet, but it's not, maybe. I once asked Reb Shlomo Zalman about this because I thought that he would be noita lekula maybe. Why? Because you know there's a machleitz between Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Moshe. If you cook in a microwave, is that bishul d'oraisa or not? So Reb Moshe says that a microwave is bishul d'oraisa because he says that he said bishul b'chama is not bishul because that's not darko b'kach. But Rabbi says, but nowadays that it is the derech, like you know, dud hashemesh that they have in Israel, so that's the derech. So therefore, nowadays it's darko b'kach, which is a little bit of a chiddush because pashas should be nikva, what was called derech bishul, you know, at time of Matan Torah. But that's what Rabbi Shah held.
And these are mostly for bishul
akum. I'm talking about for Shabbos. I'm going to get to it in a second. I'm not talking about bishul akum now. And then Shlomo Zalman said no, that he thought that it's not so Meshur held that a microwave is bishul d'oraisa, and Reb Shlomo Zalman held that he thought that it's not derech bishul, it's like told us chamak as an example, and it's only bishul midrabanan. So I thought, since he thought it's only bishul midrabanan, he would be makel about the microwave. So yes, what do you think about the microwave? But he was machmir about it. But there are those who think that microwaves, I know, are not bishul akum.
Oh, you could use a motion that says that once the shinui in a factory doesn't pass bishul batzim anyway.
Yeah, but that's in a factory. We're talking usually the microwave is. We're talking about in a store. The issue was in not a Starbucks. What's that other one? Dunkin' Donuts. Some of them have local hashkochos, but they heat the eggs in microwaves. Is that mutter? I mean, the Oyu's position is not, but there are others who think that it's mutter.
Canned foods are
so. I asked Rav Soloveitchik once about canned foods. I think Rabbi Heinemann told me he has a chilek between asparagus, which he thinks is oil shulchan malachim, even when it's canned, and other things are not oil shulchan malachim. So, I mean, this comes back first of all back to the issue that we spoke about before.
Would the White House use a canned food?
Right. You know, I can only speak for Hillary Clinton if she's president. I can't speak for other White House.
It depends who's in the White House.
What? Depends who's in the White House, exactly. I actually, when Bill Clinton was president, they were thinking of making a kosher kitchen within the White House. The chef asked me to come down, but it wasn't shy. You know, you'd think the White House, it's a small kitchen, relatively small kitchen. Wasn't shy to...
He eats out all the time.
What?
He eats out all the time.
They'll do it next time.
All right, we'll see. Old Chazan Lamoy. I don't know if you remember, but when Clinton was running the first time in 92, and it was in Bover Park, I think, campaigning, he said if he's elected president, he's going to make a kosher kitchen or something like that in the White House. And so he looked into it, but it wasn't Shaykh. You know, he made a pledge.
No more campaign line.
Right. Okay.
Is that all my support? The Oyu's position is that I find that tuna requires bishul akum, or it is subject to bishul akum, and the Mashiach turns on the fire.
Right.
Is that the case? Now?
That it, that, So, you know, it's a little bit of a suffix whether tuna is considered in cans. Comes back to the issue: is that considered oil shochav lachim? There are other sniffim lehetta. First, you have your Moshe sniff about factories. We try to arrange always to have the mashkiach light the pilot light. He's not there to light it all the time. So there are other sniffim about it.
It was obviously a position that required.
Right, but this was because of, you know, we thought in general that it didn't, because we thought if it's cooked live, in live steam, that's considered me'usha. So this was to, that was part of the tshuva that I wrote in, but this was to accommodate what their requirements were. All these are different sniffim. So just another thing that came up, well, I think my time ran up. So I was just going to talk about Rabbi Heinemann had an invention which we didn't agree to. He thought, but it's an interesting idea, you know, about Kish, that if you put in like a bulb that generates a certain amount of heat, that should be called like the equivalent of Zrikas Kisim, because the yid turned on the bulb, generates a tiny amount of heat, but certainly not less than if you put in just a splinter of wood, Zrikas Kisim. And that should be mutter. And all the people at the OU thought otherwise. Like Belsky thought of it, Shechter thought. I also didn't think that you could be sumich on that. But I know that Belsky then asked Rav Yoshev about it, and he also thought that's not Zrikas Kisim. See, I'll just give you the chakir. I don't have time to develop. The shaila is, what's the loch of Zrikas Kisim? The Ram says, because the Ram relates Zrikas Kisim, because he holds that it's also for Bishul, only for Pas, that it's Mutter, the Ram's Lodge, because it's a Hecker. So it's a separate matter. Or is that the Pshat? Or Zrikas Kisim, because since the Jew was Mishtatif in making the fire in even this meager way, so it's Mitzuv to the Yid, and it's called Bishul Yisrael. Lamai Nafkemina. So the nafkamina, this could be a shaila also. What about if it's eish mi eish, which the Shach quotes the Yisrael Het about it, which is machla, if you say that it's called bishisol, so therefore maybe even eish mi eish will be mutter. But if it's just a separate matir, right, then it wouldn't, maybe it's only, and also the nafkamina, would you need kavana? Also different days in Paiskun, the Shach talks about it. If it's a separate matir, maybe you need kavana. If it's because without my status, maybe you don't need kavana. These things may relate to those questions. But but my time is up. Can I? Later.